Let's now look through the window of baseball. For Truett and White, the professional builder's choice at Marvin Windows and Doors, and bring in a great baseball fan and I think one of the best baseball guys in the country, and that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, Marty. What's going on?
Well, what a game last night. Come on, nothing into the 13th inning? How about that?
Yeah, I was like 2 hours old, you know, after 10,
really?
Something like that. Those early innings were really so much fun to watch. So, you know, that's you hate to say, you know, it used to be like that a lot, but it did in a lot of cases. You had two guys working fast, no nonsense, and next thing you know, it's, you know, scoreless or 1-0 going into the seventh. They're still in there. So Marju was absolutely terrific. Jeez, he was so good. That's him at his absolute best. And, you know, you hated to see him not get a pick up a win. You know, those things are still important to the guys on the team, and especially the pitchers, even as the stat guys deride it. But that was a huge, huge win in all respects, and man, perfect that Arroyo got the hit. You just pull for that kid. You don't want him lugging around a .218 average, you know, with all that he gives the club. So just great all around.
Yeah, I thought it was one of those games. You just don't see games like that, especially,
right.
You know, the starting pitch. I think Cliff Lee had one with Kane a couple of years ago. Remember when the Phillies were in, I think they went into the 10th inning. But
yeah.
This one, you know, Martinez, it's interesting. Wainwright today, we'll talk about Wainwright and Kane in a second, but if you put the first pitch in play off Martinez, you're 12 for 30. And if you waited around, you were dead. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
So they were swinging early in the count because, on one hand, you want to work up the count against the guy, get him out. And the other hand, you want to get a hit, and they tried that, and it didn't work. But that is the philosophy, Bruce. You see a lot more hitters now going after that first pitch.
Yeah, which I've always advocated, you know, coming and growing up and watching guys like Aaron and Mays and Frank Robinson and Kaline. I mean, Rod Carew, they just don't mess around. If they're looking fastball on the first pitch, which a lot of guys will start you that way, boom, that's it. Go for it. You know, maybe it's the best pitch you see. And I just think it's an awfully good way to go. You don't want to get stuck in a 1-2 count against, you know, any of these hard throwers now. And of course, it's not a universal thing. I mean, some guys, their whole deal, like, you know, a guy like Joey Votto, is going to work you no matter what. And that's a beautiful thing in itself. But I've always been sort of drawn to guys who go after the first pitch and don't fool around.
Well, Wainwright, first pitch in play, 8 for 14 with 2 homers. So,
yeah.
You know, and lefties and righties both hitting him hard. Kane, first pitch, 9 for 29 off of him. So maybe this will be one of those days where they're going to be more aggressive.
Yeah, I hope so. I like to see it under just about any circumstances, you know, unless a guy just comes out there and just can't throw a strike. I mean, you wait that guy out till he's done. It's day to day. It's a great baseball thing. You can't just throw a blanket over a philosophy and expect it for it to work every single time. But aggressive hitting, I'm for it.
Yeah, no, I'm me too. And we'll talk about the Arroyo bat in a second. But this matchup, if you did this matchup 6 years ago. And you said Sunday in St. Louis, it's Matt Cain and Wainwright. Between them right now, they have 580 major league starts. They've been in 653 major league games. They have 241 wins between them. But both of them are sort of at the twilight of their careers, and this is the matchup today. And Cain, you know, Bruce, you throw out there the Reds game, and Kane has been awesome for the Giants, and Wainwright finally had a good game last against the Cubs, and he is one of the pillars of the Cardinal franchise.
Yeah, I mean, a win today would really be gravy. You know, they've already got the series won, and that's what they've got to do now, all down the line. Win the series and move on to the next one, if at all possible. If they sweep it, then, you know, hey, they're closing the gap pretty fast on 500. So that's... it's going to be good, and you know, Kane's always worth watching. But if he could, if he throws a gem today, you're almost ready to say, you know, this guy has earned what he's got, and he's, you know, keep him in there by all means.
Well, lefty's 310 against them, righty's 217. But the 4 homers he's given up, solos, and that that's always what you like to see. If you're going to give up the long ball, nobody on base.
Shades of Catfish Hunter.
Yeah, we talked about this last week with Robin Roberts and Blylevin and Fergie Jenkins and those kind of players. you know, they're the great pitchers, Hall of Famers, and they gave up solo shots. So that's the matchup today. The at-bat of Arroyo, and again, you know, the legend. The kid's going to be 22 in 10 days. You know, the legend continues, and, you know, he could have popped up, he could have struck out, anything could have happened, and there he stayed with it and made it happen, and really was the key hit of the game, obviously with the three hits ahead of him. But he didn't disappoint.
Yeah. He really crushed that ball. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt. As soon as it left the bat, it's like, okay, they finally broke through here.
Yeah.
But it's so great because, you know, he's kept his head up and he's playing good defense, and sometimes you see him at the plate, and every night's a new pitcher that he's never seen with a whole, you know, arsenal of stuff, and he's kicking himself sometimes. He missed the one good pitch that he wanted there, you know, and the rest is a bunch of nasty stuff that he has trouble handling. But I just like the way he goes about his business. He made a nice tag. He said he was going to work on his tag, and you see it right away. And the whole idea of the Giants' homegrown infield is coming back into play. You know, as much as everybody regretted the loss of Duffy, you put this kid in there, and I think he's at least a 270 hitter in the bigs, if not better, down the road. Maybe quite a bit more. And
yeah,
then he's in there with Crawford and Panic and Belt and Posey. It's just a beautiful thing in there.
No, he's a hard-nosed kid. I think the kid is a 300 hitter, to tell you the truth. And, you know, well, then my other thought last night, I got into it, and I don't know, every time Mike Matheny matches up with Bruce Bochy, Mike Matheny presses a button on that bullpen that does not work. And it doesn't work. I'm telling you, I've seen it 10 times. And here he is, you know, he's got Segrist pitching, and of course Segrist has good numbers against righties, but he leaves Segrist in, you know, here's Posey gets a base hit. Now he's got Crawford, the lefty, pitches him away every pitch, and Crawford knows how to deal with that. He gets a base hit. Nunez, righty, he gets a base hit. And here comes Arroyo, right against righties. The guy is 10 for 57. Against lefties, he's 10 for 37. He's going to get a better at-bat for you. This is the game.
Yeah.
And he leaves the lefty in, and you know the story. I'm telling you, Bruce, I see Bochy and Matheny and Jonathan Broxton. When I see that combination, good things happen for the Giants.
Yeah, I don't think they had a lot of respect for Arroyo there, and he had been kind of scuffling the whole game and hasn't really impressed the Cardinals for what he can do, but they, all of a sudden, boom, you know, there it is. And, you know, just as great, you know, Bochy's bullpen moves have been tremendous, mostly because the guys are coming through for him. I mean, you're starting to build some real trust in these guys, which is, you know, obviously just invaluable. You get to Melanson with Strickland and Osich and all these guys, and it's fun to watch. It's really starting to happen in reverse from the horrendous first few weeks.
And there are only 118 games to go.
Just around the corner.
Really?
We'll be in the playoffs, Marty.
Another weekend, and that's about the end of the season. I mean, we haven't even, really, it feels like August already because, you know, when you go through this day by day and the tension of trying to turn it around and trying to explain everything, it takes a lot of energy out of you to do it. And it feels like it's later in the season. But, well, you know, it's only, whatever, May 20, I don't even know what day it is. I know it's the Beta Breakers. That's all I know. But
I mean, you know it more than anybody. You play like a doubleheader every day. I mean, the hardest working man in show business.
I was tired last night, I want to tell you. It was a 12-hour day for us yesterday.
Yeah, that's rough.
I was tired yesterday. Have you taken a look at Arizona and just the slugging that's going on with Arizona and Goldschmidt and these guys?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've been impressive from the beginning. The Giants found that out. And I try to tape a lot of stuff. I try to tape the Dodgers because I'm really interested in watching Bellinger and Seager any night, and, you know, Kershaw, whatever, the whole Dodger thing. And I've been taping the Nationals, you know, Dusty's team, and they're just the heart of the order is so much fun to watch. It's just fantastic. I haven't really been taping the Diamondbacks too much, but I do catch up with them on the quick pitch highlights. And, you know, there's always Goldschmidt in there and Tomas and Pollock. You know, they're just they're a hard-hitting team, just period. I mean, they have to be taken seriously, which is great. You know, the better and deeper the West gets, the more I like it.
Well, you know, Corbin and Greinke and Robbie Ray and Taijuan Walker and these guys. But you just take a look at the top six sluggers in their lineup, and it's like 550, 580, 570. You know, I'm looking, where's Jimmy Fox? Is he in here? You know, is Zach Wilson in here? I mean, come on. Every one of them. Every one of them is slugging.
At least one of the Hemus brothers has to be in there.
I hope it's Solly, but...
maybe it's Pete Hemus.
Come on. You know, really, you know, Pete Wisenant or someone like that. But Bruce, I tell you, honestly, Arizona, and, you know, you look at the slugging in the league, they are just crushing the ball.
Yeah, and Colorado's right there with him. You know, it seems like Arenado goes deep every night while making a great play, and Blackman and Carlos Gonzalez, and their pitching's been pretty good. Mm-hmm. So it used to be, you know, you'd see them on the schedule and go, well, okay, we'll kind of get right here. We'll get everything straight. Those days are gone.
Yeah. This West is going to be interesting. And honestly, you know, when we get to August and start taking a look at the pitching and the bullpens and, you know, guys who haven't done this before, and the Giants included, you know, where Ty Block's going to be in August, where Matt Cain will be in August, where Tyler Beede may be in August. You know, this story has a long way to go. It really does.
Well, I mean, if Bumgarner comes back, as himself, that's like trading for the best pitcher. I mean, that's like trading for Chris Sale, and you didn't have to give up anything. You know, that's going to be wonderful. And I suspect that he will be himself when he comes back. He doesn't want to screw it up. I'm sure he's – who knows? But I just would really expect him to come back looking very familiar, and everybody in the National League takes notice. And if the Giants are still playing good ball at that point – it's going to get real interesting.
Yeah, it is. Melanson had a little trouble last night, and Larry Kruger, of course, not that Larry ever has a knee-jerk reaction. He doesn't do that.
No, it was pretty rare when you see that from Larry.
Never does, but he did tweet out that they should trade him back to Washington for some minor league outfielder or something. So I said, you know, at least this is well thought out at 11 p.m. on Saturday night. But I don't think Melanson's 100%. I think he's still working his way back.
Yeah, his whole season, his stuff just doesn't look that good.
No,
you know, it really
no.
doesn't. I mean, he's got good timing on what pitches to throw when, but he hangs a bunch.
Yeah.
It's not the same guy we saw last year, and that could be real problematic if they keep throwing him out there. And he says, well, you know, I'm good enough to pitch, but it's not quite. I'd like to see him somehow get to maximum form, even if it means another trip to the DL.
Yeah, and I agree with that because that cutter that he's got, you know, he keeps it off the barrel of the bat. And then, you know, he pitches in some traffic. I agree with you. He does not look like the same pitcher to me right now. But they, you know, he's a major closer in the game, and I think they got to get him right. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
All right. Someone did text me already. It is May 21st, Bruce, in case we forgot.
So. And I was thinking the 13th. I'm glad to get that update.
Yeah, May 20th. You know, I lose track of the day, so Muffy, thank you very much. From here into Chicago for the Cubs, this is going to be four games. I know you and I won't talk till next weekend, but how about that coming up?
Yeah, you know, they catch them at a good time. You never know when a really good team's going to start playing the way they're supposed to, but there's a lot of concern in Chicago. I don't know if it's overblown, whether they're, you know, overreacting, but you know the record, they're right around 500 is all, and their pitching hasn't been what it has been. There's just something a little bit off there, which I think is going to get corrected at some point in a major way, but right now it looks like a pretty good time to catch them. And you know, Giants at Wrigley doesn't get much better than that. They're ready for it, I think.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and Ty Block, we'll see what he does against this lineup as well. Let's jump to the Nationals just for a second before we say goodbye. Harper and Zimmerman, Barry Bonds, Kent, does it ring any bell for you?
In terms of some kind of comparison?
Watch them play. I started thinking of Bonds and Kent, the two of them.
Oh, man. Zimmerman, he's absolutely just, everything's a rocket off that guy's bat. And Harper, of course, goes without saying, he hit a home run, I think, in Pittsburgh a few nights ago. That was just astounding. It was an absolute line drive that just slammed off the very top of, you know, the barrier out there. It was going to go all the way to, you know, Erie, and it was a 500 foot homer if it's not stopped by something. And it was just a bullet. It was just frightening. And, you know, don't forget Murphy. What a genius hitter. He reminds me of Wade Boggs. He wields that bat like a magic wand. He always seems to know exactly what's going on. He takes kind of crazy swings, but he's like Boggs and Posey in that he waits just a slight bit longer than most guys to do what he wants with the pitch. And, you know, with power, opposite field, you know, he's a talk about a 300 hitter. I mean, those three guys together, plus Trey Turner, is really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, very good. That's a good comparison. I always think of Boggs and Carew kind of the same way. Rod Carew made the game look like it was playing softball.
You know, oh, jeez, yeah.
You just hit it. But I think the Nationals are coming back to earth just a little bit pitching-wise. You know, Scherzer is, you know, slowed down just a little bit, and they really don't have much at the end of the game.
Boy, they sure don't. I mean, they trotted out about six guys there, and none of them has come through. They'll have one good one, and the next one's just like, whoa, they have to make a change. That's just abundantly clear. And they still have a pretty good lead. The Mets aren't going to catch them. They've had too many injury problems. So, you know, I think they can ride out a lot of, you know, weaknesses. Unlike the Giants, who are going to have to be pretty damn near perfect for, you know, the rest of the season if they really want to get into this thing. But the Nationals, I don't think they're going to be caught no matter what happens in their bullpen. And they'll make a deal at the trading deadline and shore that up. So that's fine with me. I hope they get in the playoff mix.
Well, they will be. They will be. Hey, the first nothing-nothing game that went as long as last night between these two teams, I don't know if you heard me earlier today, but go back to July 2nd of 1933. Carl Hubble pitched it against Tex Carlton. It went 18 innings. Hubble went the entire way.
There you go.
They won 1-0 in 18 innings. It was the first game of a doubleheader. And they had 50,000, 4 hours, 3 minutes. Now, in those days, a 4 hour, 3 minute game is like a cricket match. It could take, that's like 7 days. And then the second game of the doubleheader that day, they had Roy Parmalee. He threw a shutout at the Cardinals. Hubble had struck out 12 with no walks. Parmalee 13 with no walks. He beat Dizzy Dean 1-0 in an hour and 23 minutes. That was the day that the Giants would have took charge of the pennant race and went on to win the World Series that year.
Yeah, and don't determine Hubble's pitch count. You know, some of these analytics guys will have a have a heart attack.
18 innings for Hubble. He didn't come out. He says, "I'm not coming out if that old guy's still in there." Tex Carlton.
Absolutely.
And
that's how it used to be. Well, we'll never get back to those days, but it's kind of romantic to look back on, you know, the workhorse jobs these guys did, just, you know, pretty much routinely.
But can you imagine spending 5 hours and 26 minutes with probably 30 minutes in between games, 6 hours at the ballpark, two runs, 27 innings, and the same catcher caught all 27 innings, Gus Mancuso. How about that?
Yeah, doubleheaders used to be a lot of fun. I remember really loving it if I had a chance to see it. But now today, you know, nobody likes him. The players, the fans, the front offices.
No, they're insulted.
It's a shame.
They're insulted. Yeah. What do you mean a doubleheader? We can't do that. They're insulted. All right, that's Sunday baseball. Great to talk to you. I hope everything is well with you, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Great, Marty. Thanks a million.
All right, thank you. All right, that is always great talking to Bruce. All right, more coming up.